Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Later this hour, we'll go through the fun of Would You Rather. You ask us a question, would you rather this or that? I'll give you a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors if we like yours the best. Just tweet them to us using the hashtag WS Would You Rather. Get on it now. Send them to us. You could tweet Black and Abdallah. They'll organize it for us. A lot of fun so far. A lot of football conversation. We just did a jockey call the show. From
I love when we learn things from our listeners.
Well, and Len Casper is a guy who could teach us a thing or two as well. I enjoyed Len was doing. I told you this on yesterday's show. It was like so timely. The conversation. He was in the TV booth on Sunday. Connor was doing the play-by-play on the radio. Len and Stoney were having the conversation about wins, the old school win. And he was bringing
up pitchers,
like,
right?
Yeah, like if Kopech would dominate for three or four innings and the Sox had this big lead that they were giving him, that he should be the winner. It shouldn't be some random reliever who comes in the sixth or whenever and pitches an inning. And I think it's and then sure enough, later that day, Madison Bumgarner, is it a no-hitter seven innings or not, and everything. So Len's really smart when it comes to that, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Len.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I'm not sure how smart I am, but I am opinionated, so that's good.
It is good.
They're good, smart opinions.
Look, as a guy who's listened to you, Len, for many, many years, and I like that you love the game, but you're also not scared to tinker with it and make it better.
Well, my number one thing is the changes that I think probably need to happen are just to get the game back to the game we all grew up loving. And I think it has strayed from that a little bit. And I know Theo Epstein has talked a lot about his role in terms of, you know, walks and long at bats and home runs and not a lot of action. So, you know, my whole kind of vibe in terms of things that maybe the game needs to do is just, you know, YouTube a game from 1987 or 1994, and it just looks different than it does now. And I do think we need a little more action. But, you know, there's some statistical little quirks that I also think you might need to modernize. And my thing with the five-inning requirement is you do have a lot of games where relievers get wins by throwing five or six pitches. As I said the other day, you know, Liam Hendricks, I'm sure, would be the first to tell you he didn't deserve the win Saturday night. He gave up the game-tying home run, but he got the win because he was the last White Sox pitcher before Madrigal won the game. So my thing is just Dallas Keuchel should have gotten the win Saturday. He was great. I think he went six innings, didn't give up anything, right? So he should get the win, but he doesn't because of timing more than anything else. And yes, it would mess with the history of the game a little bit, but I also think we're in an era now where guys don't want to start games and get pulled after three innings because they know they can't get a win. So let's just take that out of the mix and just say, whoever's the most effective pitcher on the team that wins the game, that guy gets the win, and get rid of all this other nonsense.
Common sense.
Common sense is usually
the best, you know, they should be your beacon. Len, I saw what you had to say about the Bumgarner no-hitter, but for those who did not see that on Twitter, your thoughts on whether or not it should be recognized as a no-hitter?
Look, people are going to call it a seven-inning no-hitter, Tom, but it's not an official no-hitter because it didn't go nine. I know it's not Bumgarner's fault because it was a seven-inning game. But we've had, you know, five-inning no-hitters, eight-inning no-hitters where the guy ends up not pitching the night because his team loses the game and he doesn't get to pitch the bottom of the night. In 1991, a group from Major League Baseball determined that retroactively they were going to erase any no-hitter that did not include at least 27 outs. And that's the way it's been for 30 years. And I get a little ticklish here on when these flashpoints cause people to want to make changes. Like, this is a 30-year thing. Someone should have brought this up long ago. right? No one's been pining for, I think it was David Palmer threw a 5-inning no-hitter to have that restored. But it only is an issue now because it happened to Madison Bumgarner. And it's just whatever. He gets a complete game, he gets a shutout, and you can say 7-inning no-hitter. Nobody is going to throw you in jail for saying that. It's just not going to go down in the annals of baseball as an official no-hitter. That's it.
Well, Len, what about, and these are the counters that Waddle and I feel strongly about. If you go 0-for-2 and don't get a third at bat and you had a hit streak going, you lose your hit streak. I mean, the rule changed of what a real game is now with baseball. There have never, like, sure, there's been suspended games, there's been postponements, shortened games, but there's never been a 7-inning scheduled game. And to us, that changes it because every other stat is given, and they handed out a World Series trophy after a 60-win season.
I mean, I'd be fine if you did that. I just don't think it's necessary. I just think it's just one of the – we're in a pandemic, and that's the only reason we have the 7-inning games to begin with. And again, so now do we hand out no-hitters to guys who get pulled because of a pitch count after six? He went six no-hit innings. What if a guy goes seven tonight somewhere in the big leagues – and he hands the ball to somebody else because he threw 120 pitches? Why doesn't he get a no-hitter?
Because it's a nine-inning game. Because it's a nine-inning game, and the other game was seven, and he went the distance.
Yeah, that's fine. But again, they determined they determined that complete game no-hitters that did not go nine innings are not no-hitters. That's the rule.
When you guys are done fighting, can I ask Len a different question?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This is it's not a statistical question, Len, but there is a lot of information about this early part of the Major League Baseball season where pitchers are dominating hitters and that the pitching has gotten so good because of the science of pitching and pitchers are doing things differently. If, in fact, the league is interested and getting the ball put in play more frequently, what is the best way to address this issue? Is it to lower the mound? Is it to move it back? What would you suggest to the commissioner?
I don't know. It's a great question. I ultimately don't know. Everybody's got an opinion. I think messing with the mound can be a little dangerous just because of mechanics, and we're already nervous about guys getting hurt. And if you change the height or the distance, I think it could potentially lead to more injuries. I think one thing that might be interesting to try is lower the strike zone, lower the top of the strike zone, maybe even lower the bottom of it. Because right now, other than Willie Calhoun, who miraculously hit a home run on a pitch that was face high off Liam Hendricks, most guys cannot hit velocity that's that high. And I do think we're at a point where it's just guys are just swinging and missing at pitches that are up because they're trying to get rid of launch angle and all that stuff. So maybe just lowering the strike zone will create a little more action and a little more contact.
Any, before we go to the White Sox, any other thing like baseball-wise, rule-wise, that's got you a little itchy these days?
Well, the team error is something I've been pining for forever. It makes so much sense. I think the NBA has team rebounds, correct?
Yep.
Where it's not an individual rebound. There are a lot of balls that are not caught in the outfield where two guys are staring at each other. And it ends up being a bloop double. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think the team error is a good bailout call for an official score, and it probably helps a pitcher's ERA when he did nothing wrong.
You guys were talking the other day about Michael Kopech during his outstanding performance as a starter. You guys also said there that it's not a matter of if, it's when he becomes the starter. And this is something that Waddle and I have talked a lot about this season. Ideal situation, okay? September, October, big games for the White Sox. Is Kopech better off as a starter every fifth day, or is this weapon out of the bullpen this year only?
Again, I think in a vacuum, I think it's a difficult question to answer. I do like the idea of deploying him in the middle of a game, kind of like Crochet on Sunday. He went three innings in relief. Kopech and Crochet both being guys who can do that is pretty intriguing. And again, it's another way to limit innings. But you can also make a case for, well, if you're going to give me three right off the bat, and we'll grab an early lead, and then we'll go to our bullpen. I just think it's all about limiting his innings early and making sure that, you know, they can somewhat take the reins off when we get into the deeper, more important part of the schedule. But I do think he wants to be a starter, and it's just, you know, if there's an injury in the rotation, I think that's when the question comes up. Do you just plug him in? Is Ronaldo Lopez a guy you want to be more of a traditional starter? I just think you got to make sure you preserve his innings to make sure that in October he's got something left that he can give this team. You got to balance the now and the future, and it's tricky to do. It's hard to do, but I think they've got the big picture in mind.
Len, two-part question here. What has been the best story so far? And what's the most important development? So you've got Mercedes, you've got Rodon, you've got Kopech. Which of those three is the best story, and which is most important? The most important development for the overall success of this team?
Well, the Yermín story is the best. I don't know how anybody can deny that. 28 years old, he's been in several organizations, been waiting for an opportunity. He's got this gregarious, outgoing personality. He really has become a cult hero here, and I think has embraced it, but just continues to hit. And we don't know what the future will look like, but it looks sustainable because he has a two-strike approach. And with Aloy and Engel going down, like with Grandal getting off to this slow start, with Abreu and Moncada getting off to slow starts, I don't know where they would be without Mercedes here in the first month. So that's the best story. I think the most important would probably be a tie between Kopech and Rodon. I think Carlos Rodon has been their best starter, and he was the number five coming out of spring training. And if he can maintain that, this rotation could be the best in the league. And then Kopech, we really didn't know what to expect coming out of spring training, because it has been 3 years since he, you know, has pitched competitively at this level. So I think those two things are enormous, and I expect the bullpen as a whole to get better as the season goes along. Defense has to get better. I think we all know that. But when you think about their 12-9 and they haven't really played their best baseball yet, I think that's a good sign.
Yep. You having a blast so far?
Loving it. It's just, I knock on wood here. It's just like, if I could dial up a perfect job for me, this would be it. And I'm having a blast. DJ's been awesome, and he's listening, so I have to say that.
Shout out, DJ.
Yes.
He said, check's in the mail. No, it's been a lot of fun. I've been welcomed in with open arms, as I've told you guys on many occasions, by the ball club and by the radio station. I think the games sound great. You know, the music, the imaging, all that stuff, and I'm having an absolute blast.
We love having you, Len. Great stuff. Thank you for joining us, and go get them tonight, all right?
Thanks, Len.
Sounds good, guys.
There you go. Len Casper, tonight, 6:30 pregame show. You got Connor McKnight, you've got Len Casper, you've got Darren Jackson, then the Sox back in action tonight against Detroit.
Yeah, get back to work, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, I hate this every other night stuff.
I want to react to some of the rules discussion. We had a lot of phone calls yesterday over all those rules. Did you hear anything you liked, you didn't like? From Len Casper, 312-332-3776. And remember, get those Would You Rather entries in. Use the hashtag WSWouldYouRather.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So Len's a 27-out guy. He's a stickler for the 27 outs.
I get it. I mean, but like you said, like the explanation for, hey, this is what they decided, what, 30 years ago? That's one thing. The explanation that, hey, some guy pitched into the eighth inning and then got pulled because of pitch count. Well, he didn't complete the game.
Right, right. Or, and like for baseball for more than 30 years said, you got to get 27 outs to win a game. You know, and that rule changed.
Right, but you're right. Then they turned into, yes.
So that's when this thing, in my book, changes. Welcome to everyone on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I love the Mike's Hard Lemonade seltzer on the board. You got the image right above Waddle's head, right over my shoulder. There's the Mike's Hard Lemonade. sign in the studio. So absolutely cool. Hoping to have some here, especially when it feels like summer outside. It is absolutely glorious. Hope you have your windows down.
It's going to be even warmer tomorrow.
It is, really? I thought today was supposed to be the...
Oh, was today the warmest day?
Yeah, I thought today was supposed to be the stud day.
Maybe so.
Maybe I'm not up on my five-day forecast or seven-day forecast. Luis Robert, I also saw. We didn't get to that part. Tony La Russa said that his symptoms have decreased today, and he is feeling better today.
Good.
But they still have to go through, obviously, all the protocols. So
go get a flu test. You can get tested for the flu, too. Do you know that?
Yes. Well, I've been tested for the
have
flu.
You?
Yes.
All right.
Remember, I had the flu a couple years ago for the first time in years. I put the whole station in jeopardy for the flu. Like, I used to be one of these believers, and you got to sneeze, you got to cough, you go to work, you know? And that's not going to...
Power through it.
You power through it, you work, you bring your lunch bucket. And then you start realizing, you're like, you're putting everyone at risk for getting sick. And now, especially after COVID, it's a different kind of mentality where now when you got symptoms of anything, you stay home. But I used to... Ugh, it was terrible. You and I used to spit green stuff in the garbage can. In the studio, we'd both have, like, stuff in the winter.
Yeah, you guys are gross.
We'd cough up, turn our mic off, cough stuff.
So what happens when you walk 2 miles uphill with no shoes in the snow. Every now and again, you get a little bit of sickness.
In the frozen tundra of Cincinnati?
You got to deal with it. Yeah. It's cold. It's like 50 degrees some nights in October.
Those can be the ones that get you because you're like, sweatshirt, no sweatshirt, I don't know. And then all of a sudden you've got the flu.
Yeah, but the weather, isn't that the old school thing that germs get you sick, not the weather?
I don't
right?
know.
You don't,
know.
You don't, for not wearing a jacket outside, now maybe it would lower your resistance or lower your immunity because you're cold. But I always thought that's what people say. You don't get sick because of that.
I know when the spring is here because my allergies get to be unbearable with different stuff, and it's just miserable as hell. It's like having a cold for 3 straight weeks.
Everything's blooming right
just
now.
Just horrible.
Everything.
It's beautiful. It's warm out.
Yep.
But it'll get your sinuses.
On the north side of town, the Cubs are in Atlanta. They lost last night. They did battle. They battled. I want to play you some Rizzo. And he was on the radio station today. Every Tuesday, 9:35, Anthony Rizzo joins Cap and Jay Hood. And he was talking today about Chris Bryant and also about Contreras. Chris, am I missing this on the screen? Oh, there he is. My bad. There's so many sound bites. Here's Anthony Rizzo talking about Wilson Contreras, who has been one of the studs so far for the Cubs.
Yeah, and he just continues to keep getting better. And that ball he hit last night was destroyed.
Yes.
And it's fun to watch. It's fun to hit behind him. And he's got a really good approach. He goes pitch to pitch. He makes adjustments pitch to pitch, which is huge. And he just continues to get better, and I think as he continues to solidify his approach, and he already has a really good one, he's just going to continue to get better.
And this is like the thing that I'm watching Willie now, and I'm looking at the Cubs and what is their direction, and Chris Bryant's off to this really good start, but now you're going to have to trade him. You can't afford him, so you're going to hope that he continues to play well, but he's only got half a year left on his contract, so you're not going to get a ton for him. So this is what I want the Cubs to decide with Contreras. Here's your leader. Here's Rizzo telling you his approach continues to get better. He continues to get better as a well-rounded player. So identify that and re-up him so you're not in these one-year periods where, well, is Javi going to be here or not? Are we going to sign him or are we not going to sign him? Bryant, what are we going to do?
When did Ryan Pace take over the
Cubs? Well, they're doing Pace-like stuff, which I never thought I'd say for the Cubs, where they're stuck in this middle. What are they doing? They're this 500 team, and what's their direction? And I want them to determine what a direction is with Wilson Contreras. Do you love him like Rizzo said, like a lot of Cubs fans like me love him, and say, it's really hard to find catching? And he's a great offensive catcher. And even if Amaya comes up and Amaya's good, one of their better prospects, maybe Contreras plays one of the corner outfield spots. Jack Peterson leaves. Willie's your left fielder. You get him off his feet. You extend his career a little bit more. Well, sign him.
He's going to be 29.
Right. And he's still in his prime. He still has, he's been really good. Or do you say to yourself, we've got Amaya. We don't like his temper. We think, you know, that his value now is at its highest that it's ever going to be. And now is the time to trade him. I don't want to get to spring training next year and repeating the same damn story that you're doing with Rob Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant, where you're like, well, you're in a lame duck year. You're in a walk year. You can't really get anything for him, but he's not signable. Now's the time to focus on Wilson. What do you want to do with him?
What do you want to see from Wilson statistically?
I like what I see from Wilson statistically. I think Wilson Contreras has been a really important part of this team.
He's been better this year than last year. Last year he had 7 home runs in 58 games.
Yeah.
This year he's got 7 home runs in 21 games.
Right.
He's hitting about the same. I mean, he's pretty consistent. His on base is going to be 350.
Right.
That's what he
OPS is. Every year. What is it? Is it about 800 every year?
Yeah, I mean, his average for his career is 817.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, he's a really good player for a catcher. You just...
Yeah.
He's...
Brings you some enthusiasm.
Yep.
Kind of a spark plug type of player. Probably isn't going to cost you as well as much as some of the other guys.
So, like, now is the time. Don't wait.
Right? I mean, you can't get rid of everybody, can you? I mean, then who are you going to field? Who are you going to put out there?
But then you got to determine who can get you the most. Like, is Jed weighing that? Like, why did he trade Darvish? Well, Darvish, you didn't know if he would ever be higher at his point.
Yeah, you got to hit the kid that was pitching last night. Yeah, you got to hit him. In that guy, you had to hit him, right?
Why do you got to bring me down?
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what you needed, right? You need. I mean, he's young. Good pitcher.
He's supposed to be flipped, too. You're not going to be able to flip any pitcher with a 10 ERA. He's just going to be here, and he's going to go, and you're going to say, you just hope that one of these prospects turns into a really good player eventually when you evaluate the Darvish deal. But the thinking behind it was is that they had him now for a value that was never going to be higher.
Okay, so who's a free agent at the end of this year?
Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant.
Okay. Why didn't you either stick with Darvish or trade them all? Well, I mean, I don't get it.
What I'm saying. It's when you said you sound like Ryan Pace, I said they're doing Ryan Pace stuff, yeah, where they're stuck in the middle. And that is stuck in the middle. Well, what are you doing? You're sending Darvish away. You're telling us you don't want to win. You're sending away a Cy Young finalist who finally found himself. He is affordable when starting pitching at that rate is concerned. But yet you're getting rid of him, but we're keeping everyone on their walk years. What is it?
I don't know what the hell they're doing.
What does it translate into, Waddle? A 10-12 record or whatever they are?
Are they 10-12? Yes.
So, I mean,
they are tied with the Reds in the cellar of the NL Central, I believe.
That's exactly the mentality that they're in right now, where you say to yourself, we're keeping Baez, we're keeping Rizzo, we're keeping Bryant. We're not sure about their long-term keeping, but we're keeping them for this year. But we're getting rid of Darvish, arguably our best player.
It's just going to suck for you when you get to the trade deadline and you move some of these guys and you don't get a ton for them because they're all going to be free agents, going to be rentals for a half a year.
And that's my point about Wilson, is why you have to either trade him or sign him now, because you don't want to wait where the value continues to go down, well, because he's only got a year left.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. And he's going to be the cheapest of all of them, I think. I mean, I don't know where Rizzo would come in, but of Javi and Bryant,
you're right.
Contreras is going to be the more affordable player. He's more consistent than Baez is, I guess.
He bats anywhere in the order, yeah, right? They've used him a lot at two. He could bat in the middle of the order. Like I said, he could play the outfield. He has early in his career. I like his versatility. I like him. I'd sign him.
Yeah.
312-332-3776 if you want to react.
Right. He may be a corner outfielder at some point.
Yeah. And then Amaya comes up and he could take over catching if he lives up to what he's supposed to be. 312-332-3776. Get your would you rathers in. We'll do that in about 5 minutes. And Mel Kiper later this hour will play you just ripped cap today. Really good stuff.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olsen here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
That's right. Would you rather? Each and every Tuesday, 4 o'clock hour, you tweet us. You use the hashtag WS Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
You ask us an either-or question. We'll answer them. The more fun we have, the more creative the question, the better chance you have to win the $50 gift card to Grand and Western Fine Wine and Liquors. Yeah. I am due to stop by Grand and Western shortly, right at the corner of
Grand and Western.
Right in the heart of Chicago. They pass the savings along to you the way it should be. I'm running out of stuff. I need a summer supply of red wine, white wine. I need some more beer in the fridge. I'm good on the Tito's. I'm good on the seltzers.
You never have too many Mike's Hard Lemonade seltzers.
That's right.
You like to start the night with one of those, don't you? And then you.
I do. That's how I do. That's my starter. Yes. It's a good way. And this weekend, we're expecting to go out for dinner this weekend, too, for the first time in months in this city, in the area. And on the Uber ride there, that's what I will bring in a coffee cup. I will be back in the back of an Uber with a coffee cup full of Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Are you not allowed to, like, as a, I guess you're not. That's open container. You can't do that.
No, that's not allowed. That's why I put it in the
cup. I didn't just ask if you could drink.
What do you do with the coffee mug when you're finished?
It's not a mug. It's like the coffee cup. It's like the portable.
Oh, to-go cup?
Yeah, it's one of the to-go cups. It looks like there's hot coffee in there. If they can
hot
hear
hot coffee over here.
Like
this styrofoam? Is hot coffee. This
like
is
you're
not
drinking, yeah. Like you're drinking scissor from the back of an
so
Uber.
So if they hear the jingle jangle, as Waddle likes to say, of the ice cubes, and they say, "Whoa, what's in there?" I say, "Well, it's Sprite because I get carsick. I get nauseous, and I don't want to throw up in your Uber." Then they leave you alone, and so you
don't. Did they ever ask you if you want a pacifier?
It's Sprite for my tummy.
I have built-in excuses ready to go.
I've got a bum
tum. It's my starter drink.
Why don't you just tell him it's a Diet Coke? You don't drink alcohol.
Why don't you say mind your own business, sir?
Yeah, you know what it is. It's keep your hands at 10 and 2. Yeah, that's what it is.
I treat the Uber drivers with respect.
I don't think these guys say that to the Uber drivers.
No, but we're also not sneaking in beverages in a coffee mug saying cup saying that it's Sprite for my hurt tummy.
Well, I'm saying it just in case.
Yeah.
I'm not used it yet.
You've never used that yet, have you?
I know, but I've got to have an excuse.
Oh, you just have the built-in lie ready to go?
Yeah, because you know me, under pressure, I'm going to choke.
So he opens the door, he slides in, goes, "By the way, this cup has got ice in it.
No.
Don't think it's an alcoholic beverage. It's just Sprite. A Sprite because I've got a tummy issue.
I got a bum tum."
What do you want?
If I'm him, I tell you to get out and get somebody else to drive you.
I don't want you throwing up in my car at all.
And it's not because I think you're drinking alcohol. It's just because that excuse sucked. Get out.
Be more creative.
Yeah.
Idiot. All right, what do we got here for the Would You
guys,
Rather?
Guys, it's draft week, so would you rather draft Mac Jones or Trey Lance?
Mac Jones.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
Oh.
You guys like Trey Lance better?
Yeah.
Dude, he's played against
the best teams. Alabama guy.
Yeah, I've seen him play. I'd rather have Trey Lance.
Have you seen Trey Lance play?
From what I've seen, I like him better than what I've seen.
What did you see? He played one game.
What do you like about Trey Lance?
I like the pro dual threat of Trey Lance. I think he's going to be he's better suited for a NFL offense where things can break down, because if it breaks down for Mac Jones, you're kind of screwed.
Well, guess what happened with, our guy. I mean, he could get away.
Okay. Come on. Trey
He's
Lance
another
is
guy
a,
with
Would you rather have Trey Lance or another year of Mitchell Trubisky?
Mac Jones seems like he's super
accurate. I love when they go into the voice, closet.
It's sort of a Casey Kasem type voice.
Both of them. I got Mr. Tummy over here. He's got an itchy tummy, and
I've got a bum tum.
The best voice still is David Eckstein's voice. I don't know how that came to be yesterday with Carm, but it was fantastic.
All right, this one's right up my alley. Okay, Andrew nailed it with this. Would you rather, because Abdal and I were talking about this last night, would you rather discover/capture Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster? Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster?
So you capture them.
Yeah, well, I assume he wrote Bigfoot. Discover or capture as if you would be able to prove Bigfoot. That you found one or the other.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
I agree, because I think Bigfoot is... the Loch Ness Monster is one swamp, right? I mean, we've solved the riddle of one.
No, it's not a swamp. Loch Ness.
It's a lake.
It's a lake. It's a giant lock. It's a swamp. Geography
is not my thing. Yeah, we've established this.
Yeah. It's a lock.
But big.
It's not in Africa.
Bigfoot could be all over the place, right?
Technically,
it could. I mean, the Yeti. I mean, some think he's in the Himalayan mountains. Some people think he's in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
See, that's
the
thing.
My grandfather could have been Bigfoot.
That's the thing. I think that if there is a Nessie, there might only be one Nessie in that said lock. There's probably multiple Bigfoots.
Yes.
So if you're capturing one, rationale.
It's like a big lizard or
a giant...
You got to watch...
No, I'm saying like the Bigfoot. I mean, Bigfoot's...
A big man.
Bigfoot's more impressive, than Loch Ness.
All right, say you guys capture said Bigfoot.
Yeah.
What's your next move? What are you doing?
Calling the authorities.
Authorities, okay.
Yeah, I'm
Sylvie,
calling...
Good morning, America.
Oh, you've got him. Where are you
this
going?
This is a reveal. Like, how are you letting the world know?
How are you keeping him from ripping your eyeballs out?
You figured it.
He's not going to want to be contained. He's not a puppy.
You figured it.
I don't think he's a puppy. He's in a net. You're going to give him Xannies?
I'm going to give him Tranks,
You don't have enough Xannies at home to bring him down.
I'm going to Trank him.
This is a good question, though.
Why do you have tranquilizers?
If I'm hunting Bigfoot, I'm going to have Tranks.
You're not hunting. You run up on him.
Would you pick a show to reveal this on, or would you just call a national press conference and have everyone cover it?
See, Waddle's got it all wrong by calling the authorities, because the authorities just take it away. You get no credit whatsoever. There's no monetary gain.
I don't know how I'm going to keep him.
What if they were aware that it exists and you contact them and then they take the beast away?
Right. What are you, like the keeper of King Kong then? You're touring the world?
Well, I mean, all of a sudden now Tom Waddle without Bigfoot, now you're the crazy guy in the corner.
Well, maybe I found something that like it's for a bigger, better cause than me trying to sell it for money.
Not only will they take it away, then they'll deny that he actually did it.
See?
And he's just some crazy...
You know how many times Tom Waddle was hit in the head playing football?
I'm with you. You call a press conference before you alert the authorities.
Okay.
And here it is.
Right.
So there's no exclusives. Strahan's not sitting down with you to.
I don't think good morning TV is something I would call for. I would call for something later in the day.
Trevor Noah?
Yeah, I do something prime time. I don't know about comedy. I do more prime time. Yeah. 2020. Something like that.
Is 2020 still on?
60 minutes. How about that?
Is 2020 still on?
How about 60 minutes? You still consume 60 minutes. Still highly rated.
If you find Bigfoot and you're on 60 minutes, I will absolutely watch it.
Who
and
do you get?
I will use it for my what to watch for.
Who
do you get?
Call Bear Grylls.
Who do you get, though? Do you get Anderson Cooper? Is it a Leslie Stahl?
Yeah, I want someone more old school.
Morally safer.
Leslie Stahl over Anderson Cooper.
Leslie Stahl has done it for years. Yes. She's great.
I don't want like some newbie on 60
Cooper's
Minutes.
Anderson Cooper's not a newbie. He's a newbie on
60 Minutes.
Somebody's right. AC360, he's not old school.
Wait a second, are you sitting next to the Bigfoot being interviewed?
Yeah, the two of you.
Yeah. You got him on a leash, right?
Waddle. You got him on a leash.
Or you got him in cuffs.
No, cuffs? No, we're friends.
Well, really?
We've come to an agreement.
He's going to be your friend after you captured him and used him for financial gain?
We're going to split the money.
That's not friendship.
We're going to split the money.
No, he's going into some sort of, you know, captured state.
Nope, Harry and the Hendersons.
You're crazy.
There's some more good ones. Let's continue this,
Would
okay?
Would you rather draft an offensive tackle?
312-332-3776. Where would your reveal be? If you like just made national news or you were a sought after person, where would you like drop the news on? I landed on 60 Minutes.
After you landed on 2020.
Yeah, I know. I talked it through. I know
where you go. Go to the Sally Jesse Raphael show.
I was going to say, let's go on Phil Donahue.
Oprah. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We had a good conversation in the bathroom, too.
Excuse me?
Yeah, not COVID days, usually the bathroom.
Speaking of Loch Ness Monsters.
Isn't
Would you rather talk to me?
You should have seen what we walked in on.
What?
I don't know. He said Loch Ness Monster bathroom, you know, the whole. There are a bunch of dudes in the bathroom.
It was like the first full house bathroom I've seen in over a year.
There's never anyone here.
Right. It was everyone who was here, basically.
I stood
in the bathroom during the break.
It was just the two of you.
And no, Sharfy was in there.
Yapping away.
I was talking. I asked Sharf the same question.
We carried the conversation.
What did Sharf say?
Through the break into the bathroom.
Sylvie picked 60 Minutes. What's the show you would pick to reveal Bigfoot on television to the world?
Jerry Springer's show.
He said, Good Morning America. And then as he was walking away, he said, PTI. So I think Sharpie's going to have five good Will minutes Bond. With Tony and Will Bond with Bigfoot.
Right. Peter King's on today to preview the draft. And tomorrow, we have five good minutes with the man who has captured Bigfoot.
Will Bond doesn't believe it.
Will Bond thinks it's...
Nah. Do you want to see this, Mike? No.
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 Junk.
I've seen Bigfoot before.
Wilbon's going to be in studio with us on Thursday, so make sure you're on Twitch for that, or at least listening any possible way, the ESPN Chicago app, obviously on your car radio. Make sure we're preset number one. You'll become the P1 Club then.
Have you ever had to cough and had hiccups at the same time?
For sure. Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm going through that right now. It's a cracker. I ate a Ritz cracker. It went down the wrong path. It went down a bad path. Now I've got
it's like a Ryan Pace draft.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going down a bad path.
How would you describe the 2017 draft? Well, I had the hiccups and a cough at the same time.
Yeah, it's called the choke, Ryan. That's what it's called. Azad in Arizona, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Azad?
Hey, Sylvie.
Hey.
What is going on, my man?
Azad, you sound happy, and I love it.
I'm excited to be on the radio with you. Sylvie Strong, number one.
Thank you.
Number two, you know, we went to high school together. I'm class of 91 from North.
Very cool. 89 for
also,
me. So,
what kind of a jackass was he in high school, Azad?
He was great. He was fantastic. He's actually friends with my buddy, Saltzman. So I know him better than I know Sylvie. But
you're talking about Jason. Nice. Yeah, and he just tweeted us, too. That's one of my weed guys.
Excuse me?
Salt knows his weed, yeah.
Yes, he does. And he's my guy, too, for that as well. But I'm in Arizona. And,
you guys got a big marijuana ring going, don't you?
And he's a big P1, too, Jason is.
Very much so.
Yep.
So listening to your Nessie and Bigfoot conversation, of course, I picked Nessie because I just want to go... I just want to go across the pond. But I think you, Waddle, I think mentioned Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
I was kind of going along the same line. Yeah. I feel like Geraldo Rivera would be the guy to call because at one time he was a very well-respected, like, reporter. And then his show kind of turned to, like, a little meatball-y and he started to lose some cred, but I think this would be something to get him back on the map.
Okay, Zod, I got it. Something we can agree on. We put Bigfoot on Maury Povich and do a paternity reveal.
Yes! Maury! Totally!
Azad.
That's the one. Yeah.
Thank you, Azad. Thanks for listening in Arizona.
Pleasure.
There
you
go. Class of 91 at Niles North. It was 89.
We got to stick together. Was it Vikings?
Yes, we're
North Vikings.
It's where Brent Novoselsky played. And then I didn't know Brent well until... I still don't know Brent well. Seth is a kid I grew up with.
Is that the school that's right by the mall?
Yes.
The fields?
Right off of Old Orchard Road on the Edens.
They got some good facilities.
And we built new facilities, too.
Were you playing ball on that baseball field?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes,
nice.
There's a short porch in right field on the smaller field, on the freshman, like, JV field, and I hit one once.
Nice.
That's it, though. The only one in my career. Yeah, I know, that's it.
No, I'm
a Madrigal.
No,
yeah.
I'm a Madrigal.
That's why I identify.
I'm a Madrigal.
Contact.
Yeah.
Contact. Don't strike out. Don't cost your team. Anything else you guys like? Someone said in the Twitch app wanting to know, which fan base in Chicago would you not want to be hated by most? So, like, Cubs, Sox, Bears, Bulls, or Blackhawks?
Well, we've had people hate us from each of them, sure. Which has been the most uncomfortable.
I've got a good one here. You want to answer the question first?
Yeah, I think it's the Bears because it's everyone's united.
So you'd be out on an island.
Yes. You don't want the Bears fan base in Chicago hating you if you're in... Because Cubs fans, you always have Sox fans. If you're Bulls fans hating you, you could always be a great hockey fan. But if you're hated by the only fan base for a football team, that's not good.
All right, this one might boggle our minds. Would you rather hear all the sounds that a human can't hear or see all the colors a human can't see?
I don't know. I'm like, I'm perplexed as to both. What
can't, all the colors of the wind?
I mean, like, what
would
colors am I not seeing?
Would you rather hear all the sounds that a human can't hear or see all the colors a human can't see?
Well,
see
I purple. Think you could find out more
purple.
Secrets.
What? Borple. What's it's a borple. Combination of blue and purple.
I don't agree.
But if you're listening to things that can't be heard,
what good is it?
Well, no, but I mean, like, what about
you can't hear a dog whistle, right?
Why do I want to hear a dog whistle?
What about two people whispering about me?
Why do you want to be dipping in on that conversation?
Well, look, you could cash in with some stuff.
Like what? Why does it always come back to cashing in?
Because it benefits.
Who wants to? I got Bigfoot!
Isn't that the essence?
Is someone whispering over there about me and Big Boy?
How is seeing colors that you can't see going to benefit you?
I don't think either one really.
As opposed to hearing things that no other human can hear.
Maybe you could hear things that are coming from the universe out there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like what colors am I not seeing?
Maybe you could see other dimensions?
Like, I feel like I feel fortunate to have pretty good vision. I wear glasses to read. But, like, I'm not colorblind. Like, I feel...
Yeah, you're good.
I'm satisfied with the colors that I see.
You happy with your hearing?
What?
Yeah, very good. It's the old school old man joke right there.
I'd go with the hearing, though. I want to hear... I'm scared of what's out there, but I wouldn't mind hearing. I'm not using the information to make money, like you've suggested. But
well,
I want to hear
it
what's,
always is. You taught me that way. I've learned you're my Obi-Wan Kenobi on that. What do you mean?
Well, I make you see colors you can't see.
I'll bring you
something tomorrow.
I don't want your weed. I
want
to hear.
My weed? What is this? Reefer madness? It's not weed.
I want to hear what some of the aliens are saying. They're communicating. We can't hear it because it's at such a high
pitch. There you go.
You know what are they saying? These dummies.
And then we could reveal on the Maury Povich show that we heard the aliens.
That's right.
All right, in 2 minutes, I want to talk Bears. Abdallah's got a theory on drafting a quarterback in the second round. But this is gold, guys. This is absolutely gold. Cap on his vacation contributed to the mock draft on KJZ, only to get ripped to shreds by Mel Kiper.
That was after he did a workout help video and gave out some of your best betting suggestions.
You won't want to miss it in 2 short minutes.